A boy came running into the house and asked his mum if she wanted the good news or the bad news first. She opted for the bad news, hoping the good news would outweigh the bad. I don't know if he had broken some glass in the greenhouse with a ball, or if he had bounced a ball against his dad's car. But he was just about to run back outside to play after delivering whatever the bad news was, when his mum asked him, "But what about the good news?" His reply was, "Mum, there isn't any good news." And off he went. Folks, that there is no good news is a conclusion we might come to while reading through the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets. The minor prophets are the last 12 books in the Old Testament, but they are only minor in the sense that they are much shorter than the four prophets that precede them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The prophets were all important in their day, and still so today. There's quite a bit of doom and gloom towards God's people scattered across or scattered throughout the minor prophets. Quite a bit of bad news. But thank God, there is hope and good news in the minor prophets. Throughout the books of the prophets, major and minor, we find good news in the midst of the bad. In his commentary on the minor prophets, the late preacher and Christian writer James Montgomery Boyce said this: "No matter how depressing the message of judgment in the minor prophets becomes, it's never the final word of God to his people." For some moments now, I want to focus on a verse that has sometimes been called the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. In other words, a verse that says a lot within four or five lines. It's a good news verse, a really good news verse. The verse in mind is Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." If that's not a good news verse in the midst of a lot of bad news towards God's people in Zephaniah's day, I don't know what is. In the first two and a bit chapters of Zephaniah, the prophet has been saying some hard things to the people of Judah about their departure from God, about their disobedience to God and to his word, and that judgment was coming their way. But beyond judgment, there is hope and great generosity on the part of God, and a lot of which we see in this verse, verse 17. Here's how this verse reads in the Message translation of the Bible. It says there, "Your God is present among you, a strong warrior there to save you, happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love and delight you with songs." So let me flag up or point up what Zephaniah 3:17 speaks about. And this is for our encouragement, I trust, this evening. It speaks, firstly, about God's presence. the Lord your God is with you. This literally means that God is in the midst of you. God isn't just watching us day by day. He walks through life with us. He is not just near. He's right in the midst of whatever we are in the midst of. Christian is never alone or abandoned, even though that's how we might feel at times. As we know, David says in Psalm 23 that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is our companion and our shepherd even then, and especially so then. The God of the mountaintop, an old hymn says, is also the God of the valley. The Lord your God is with you. I take comfort from the words of Jesus found in John 14, verse 8. There Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Christian friend, brother and sister in Christ, the Lord your God is with you. He is our constant companion, whether the wind is on our back or in our face. This verse speaks about God's presence. I recall a funeral service I took in Carador, where I was minister for nearly 20 years. Well, I can recall many happy occasions there as well. But it was so encouraging at a particular funeral service to hear a family speak so positively and so confidently about God's presence, God's abiding presence with them during their time of difficulty and loss. This verse speaks about God's presence, a presence God's people can know and be sure of through faith in Jesus Christ. Then it speaks too about God's power. He is mighty to save. When we could do nothing to save ourselves from the punishment due to us for our sins, God intervened, and He did so in a mighty way. Just when all seemed over and lost, when Jesus was crucified and placed in the tomb, God was waiting patiently to demonstrate His power. And as God raised Jesus from the dead, the message to the world was and is this: forgiveness, forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life is available to all who come, to all who believe and will receive. Our God is a mighty warrior, and He overcomes all the odds to defeat the enemy so we can be free and safe. He is mighty to save. By His mighty power, God saved His people out of Egypt. By His mighty power, God enabled Gideon with the few to overcome the many. By His mighty power, God gave Elijah victory over the false prophets on Mount Carmel. By His mighty power, God preserved Daniel in the lion's den. And by His mighty power, God brought His people back to Jerusalem after their time of captivity in Babylon. And as already indicated, by His mighty power, God raised Jesus from the dead. In verse 27 of Jeremiah 32, we read, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind, is anything too hard for me? And in Romans 8, verse 31, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Zephaniah 3, verse 17, speaks about God's presence, and it speaks about God's power. Speaks, too, of God's pleasure. He will take delight in you. He will take great delight in you. You know, friends, there are any number of things we take delight in. Maybe even great delight. We might delight in our homes or in a new car, in some new household appliance. Grown men delight in their football team when they are on a winning streak. A child delights in his or her latest toy. Young people might delight in their latest tech gadget. I have talked to some men recently who delight in restoring an old tractor or an old car. My, they are so fussy that the paint is the right shade and that the replacement parts are as original as possible. We know the feeling, don't we? The buzz of being delighted with someone or something. Well, let it sink in this evening. Let it sink in if you are truly in the way with Jesus. God delights in you. And here's why. Because as he looks at us, he sees the forgiveness or the righteousness of Jesus applied to our hearts and to our lives. As I put my trust in Jesus as Savior, he deals with my sin and he gives me his righteousness, his garment of righteousness in place of my sin. The word delight means to be bright and cheerful. Some of us think that God frowns when he looks towards us. Well, maybe he does sometimes when we drift from him or leave him out of some of life's decisions. But friends, God is glad that he made us. God has pleasure. He has delight in his people. Like some of you here, we have grandchildren, two girls, and while they have their moments, we're delighted to be with them and to be involved in their lives a little bit. When they mess up as they do, we still delight in them. We still have pleasure in them. We should be glad. God has pleasure in us. Christian author Max Lucado captures the thought well. And I quote, God is for you. If he had a calendar, your birthday would be circled. If he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, he's carved your name in the bark. Zephaniah 3, verse 17 speaks of God's presence, speaks of God's power. He is mighty to save, speaks of God's pleasure. He will take great delight in you. At verse 11 of Psalm 147, we find these words. The Lord delights or has pleasure in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And then something we all need is God's peace. And this verse speaks of God's peace, doesn't it? He will quiet you with His love. Sometimes the love of the Lord is expressed as loyal love, which is about God's commitment to us. And we should be glad about that. But the best thing that comes from God's love is God's peace and contentment. The very things so many in the world are in search of today, they are missed out by rejection of God, or by avoidance of God, or by an arrogance towards His Word. There's no peace like God's peace, and it is yours and mine as a result of His love for us. He will quiet you with His love. The one who made quiet the storm on Galilee can also quiet in our hearts. He gives to us what no one or nothing in the world can, His peace. Jesus often spoke words of peace to His troubled disciples. God's peace, the Apostle Paul says, passes all understanding. We read about it in Philippians 4, verse 7. Let me remind you of what Paul says in that great verse in Romans 5. It's verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Zephaniah 3:17 speaks of God's presence, God's power, God's pleasure, and God's peace. And there's more. One more. Our verse speaks of God's praise. It's hard to imagine God singing, rejoicing about me. It's hard to imagine God, Almighty God, awesome God, rejoicing over us. We blow hot and cold in our relationship with God. Let's face it, some mornings we are so keen about God as we begin the day. Some mornings we earnestly pray that we will not slip up today the way we did yesterday. But before long, we have said something or done something that we know was wrong. And yet, listen again to how our verse in Zephaniah finishes off. He, God, will rejoice over you with singing. We here rejoice over God with singing, and rightly so. It's part of our worship of God to join together as we have been doing in praise of Him, the great and awesome God He is, so generous and so patient, but God rejoicing over us. The mind boggles. What should be music to our ears is just a little bit surreal. God rejoicing over me. God rejoicing over us. I'm told that the Hebrew word for rejoice, Hebrew being the original language of the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for rejoice means to spin around in joy with great gladness and glee. Children spin around in the school playground and have lots of fun and laughter. They spin around with each other as they go along to one of those fun places for a birthday party. Now, of course, we don't want to reduce God to spinning around or giggling over us. Not at all. But He rejoices with joy and great gladness when He thinks of His people on the journey of faith with Him. A Christian song called Amazed has these lines in it. You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around but I never hear the sound. He will rejoice over you with singing. Friend, the next time you feel a bit down, perhaps not in a frame of mind to praise God, remember that God is not above praising you, not above rejoicing over you. The next time you falter and fail in the Christian life, which we all do from time to time, remember that God doesn't shut you down or shut you out. He awaits your return and is not above singing your praises. If there is rejoicing in heaven over one who repents and turns to Jesus Christ, well, then there is praise in heaven, rejoicing in heaven over the Johns and the Janes and over the Marks and the Marys and over the Sandras and the Samuels who press on in the way with Christ. That God has joy in his people should, if you like, put a spring in our step. We should be encouraged that God thinks of his people in terms of rejoicing. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This verse speaks about God's presence, God's power, God's pleasure, God's peace, and God's praise. I can't remember if I have ever stayed in a 5-star hotel. I honestly don't think I have. But in a 5-star hotel, we should expect top-class treatment from the moment we arrive until the moment we sign out. We expect, for example, our luggage to be delivered to our room. We expect little extras when we sit down for our evening meal. If we choose room service, we expect it to be of the highest standard. Zephaniah 3, verse 17, is a verse that points to God's 5-star treatment of all who believe in him, his 5-star treatment of all who are obedient towards him and keep faith with him. From the moment of faith in God and trust in Jesus Christ, his Son, we are assured of his presence, his power, his pleasure, his peace, and his praise over us. And if you're not yet a professed follower of the Lord Jesus, if you haven't yet acknowledged him as your Savior, the only one who forgives and saves and makes us right with God, friend, you're missing out on so much. Come to him while you still can and be blessed by his presence, his power, his pleasure, his peace, and his praise. Let's pray.